Matthew 25, the message today is Jesus, the masterful creator of parables and descriptive pictures. Jesus, the masterful creator of parables and descriptive pictures. And I wonder, do you think you can give me your attention for a little over 5 minutes if I read this 25th chapter? Let us see. Matthew 25, and look for one moment, chapter 24, verse 45. And even before that, verse 32. Now from the fig tree learn her parable. 45. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath set over his household to give them their food in due season? And now, chapter 25. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins who took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. For the foolish, when they took their lamps, took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Now while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. But at midnight there was a cry, "Behold the bridegroom, come ye forth to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "Peradventure there will not be enough for us in you. Go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went away to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know not the day, nor the hour, for it is as when a man going into another country called his own servants, and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his several ability, and he went on his journey. Straightway he that received the 5 talents went and traded with them, and made other 5 talents. In like manner, he also that received the 2 gained other 2. But he that received the 1 went away and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. Now after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and maketh a reckoning with them. And one who had 5 made 5, 2 made 2, and 1, what did he do? Verse 24. He that received the 1 talent came and said, "Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou didst not sow, and gathering where thou didst not scatter. And I was afraid, and went away and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, thou hast thine own." But his Lord answered and said unto him, "Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I did not scatter. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the bankers, and at my coming I should have received back mine own with interest. Take ye away therefore the talent from him, and give it to him that hath the 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not, even that which he hath shall be taken away. And cast ye out the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There shall be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. But when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the angels with him, Then shall he sit on the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all the nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as the shepherd separated the sheep from the goats, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me to drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungry, and fed thee, or athirst, and gave thee drink? And when saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? And when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it unto one of these my brethren, even one of these least, you did it unto me. Then shall he say unto them, On the left hand depart ye cursed into the everlasting fire, which is prepared for the devil and his angels, for I was hungry, and all the other things, and they neglected to do them. And they give the same question, How? When? Verse 45. Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not unto one of these least, you did it not unto me. And these shall go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for these portions that we have read from thy word. Our God, we pray that we shall consider them seriously. You have spoken of weeping and gnashing of teeth. You have spoken of some going away into eternal punishment. And these words came from thy Son. And who loved mankind more than thy Son? And yet he speaks of weeping and gnashing of teeth and eternal punishment. We pray that we shall take these things to heart. Our God, from all these portions that we've read, at least help us to understand a little bit about them, that when your Son comes, we shall be ready. So prepare the hearts of those who are listening and empower the lips of him who speaks and glorify the name of thy Son, in whose name we pray. Amen. Jesus, the masterful creator of parables and descriptive pictures. One of the Messianic Psalms says that our Savior is a speaker of parables. And he tells us in Matthew chapter 13, no less than 8 parables, there were more, but in Matthew 13, 8 parables, and the marvel is this, each parable is exquisite in itself, but then each parable is put in relationship to the other parable, and he is able in one chapter to show you the course of this age and the preaching of the gospel and all that shall transpire from the sowing until the time of the harvest. And he does it with a few parables, and you can never forget them. Do you remember about the sower that went forth to sow? Do you remember the wheat and the tares? Do you remember the mustard seed? The leaven in 3 measures of meal? The treasure hidden in a field? The pearl of great price? The net cast into the sea? And the steward who brought forth out of his treasure things new and old. And if you study all of those parables, you will know the course of the age, the work of Satan, and the work of Christ, and the disciples of Christ. You will understand them. And Christ looks over all that is going to transpire from the time he was on earth until the time he comes again. And he sets it forth in these 8 parables. Now, when the question was asked again of a long amount of time, when the Savior said, "Do you see all of these things? The temple, it's magnificent." He said, "There shall not be left here one stone left upon another that shall not be cast down." And so they asked the question, "When shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the consummation of the age?" And he starts speaking to them factually, descriptively, and then he gives us 3 parables and a descriptive picture of what is going to transpire from the time he was speaking to them until the time that he comes again. And the marvel this time is this. You have asked me to speak to you on Matthew 24 and 5, and I spent hours and hours and hours preparing to tell you what I can about these chapters. Do you realize that our Savior was asked by Peter, James, John, and Andrew, "When are these things going to be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming?" And the Lord Jesus immediately made up, created all of these parables, these exquisite parables that set forth beautifully everything that's going to happen until he comes. And that is why in Psalm 78, he is called a speaker of parables. And he glories in it, because he is the master at the parables. And also, when he answers questions, at times he does not want some people to understand them. And the disciples ask in Matthew 13, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And the Savior said, "Because unto you it's given to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But unto them all things are spoken in secret, spoken in parables." And so Christ is able to speak truths, and those that are his own and have been enlightened can understand, and the other people that are listening can hear the same words and not understand what he's talking about. And that is why God sent him forth as the speaker of parables, and he was the masterful creator of parables and descriptive pictures for this reason. The last portion that I read to you in Matthew chapter 25 is not a parable, but it is a descriptive picture of the judgment of the living nations when our Savior comes back to earth. I know the time for this reason. It is at the beginning of the millennium, because in chapter 19, Peter says, "Lord, we've given up everything and we're following you. What shall we have?" And the Savior said, "In the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, you also shall sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." And here in Matthew 25, the Savior says, "When the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory," and so he's sitting there, but this time, by himself, he is separating the sheep from the goats and pronounces judgment upon them. But he has told us in Matthew chapter 19 that the other 12 apostles are sitting with him on thrones, and they also are going to pass judgment with him. And Paul says this, Do you not know that you shall judge angels? And so for that reason, our Savior has included so much in these parables and in these descriptive pictures that you can spend the rest of your life considering them and never grow weary and never exhaust them, and you can find admonition and profit in these parables, whether they refer to you or not. This is why I told you in past weeks about prominent teachers in the church, and they are not able to come to a definite conclusion about the exact interpretation of these parables. That means absolutely nothing. You can be like my friend that I told you. He said, is this the tribulation? Yeah, it has nothing to do with me. I'm not going to read it. He wouldn't even look at the passages. But there are three scriptures that you should take to mind that tell you whether the passage applies to you or not. It is profitable. Listen to this. Romans 15:4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures may have hope. It says in Romans 4 that Abraham was challenged by God to offer up his son. He was told of God that he would have descendants like the stars of the heaven and the sands of the seashore. And it says that Abraham was not staggered, though he was an old man, and though his wife's womb was dead, it said he staggered not through unbelief, and it was reckoned unto him for righteousness. And it said it was not written for Abraham's sake alone, but for our sake, that we might be admonished by the things that were spoken concerning Abraham. You say, back then, I read it, and it's for me. Of course it's for you. And in 1 Corinthians 10, it says this, now all these things happened unto them as types, but they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages are come. And so notice, persons in the past are brought to our attention for our admonition, and history in the past is brought to our attention, and it says, it is for us to learn by. And so the portions that we've read today, not each one is the application to you personally, but each one is profitable to you for this reason. I pay attention to the one that says this. Whom then, who is that wise and faithful servant whom the Lord hath set over his household to give them their food in due season? Blessed is that servant who, when the Lord comes, he shall find so doing. And so the Lord has given me the responsibility of giving food to the household of God. And inasmuch as I've been feeding you here for 40 years, you can call me a faithful feeder of the children of God, and you have to decide whether what I've told you depicts wisdom or some other thing. And so when I read that portion, who is that wise and faithful servant whom the Lord has set over his household to give them their food in due season? And so that is my responsibility. But the other parable is this. It says the kingdom of heaven is like unto 10 virgins who took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Now, that includes all of you. Even though not all are gifted to feed God's lambs and sheep, all of us are filled with the truth of the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we know that we are to be ready when he comes. Be ready, be prepared, be watchful. And so all of us can say, I will look at those 10 virgins and see in them a picture of myself, whether I'm wise or whether I am foolish. And also, you have this responsibility. No matter how small the gift that God has given. You all have a gift, because here he gave 5 talents. You say, I do not have 5. He gave 2 talents. You say, I do not have 2. And he gave 1 talent. Certainly, you would say, I have at least 1 talent, a small ability to do something with what God has bestowed upon me. But concerning that last descriptive picture, it has nothing to do with you. It depicts those who, just at the beginning of the millennium, the living nations are brought before the Lord Jesus Christ. And here he is spoken of as the king sitting on his throne. And he looks upon the nations that are living at that time. And he separates them as a shepherd does, sheep from the goats. And he pronounces their blessing or their doom. And so that has nothing to do with you now. But in a coming day, it is going to have everything to do with those living nations who remain until our Savior comes back and is ready to establish his throne, when he is going to sit upon the throne of his glory. And understand, that throne is in Jerusalem, the city of the great king. And this is what God would have us to understand. So hear all of these parables, and they're just a few. And I remember some years back going through all of the parables and arranging them and giving interpretations to them, and there were some 70 parables, not even mentioning those forms of teaching that are found in the Gospel of John. And all of these parables are thrilling, because one of them can captivate you. Do you remember the parable about the father who had the 2 sons? The prodigal son, the one who went into a far country and spent all, wasted his father's substance in riotous living. You say, who could forget that parable about the prodigal son? Do you remember that parable about the 99 and that 1 lost sheep that the Lord found? You said, yes. And so our Savior was the masterful teacher of the truths of God in language and in words that we're all able to understand if you have any degree of understanding. And now I'm going to give you this compliment, that all of you have a degree of understanding if you are truly born again, because the Lord has told you this in 1 John 2. He says, we have an unction, we have an anointing, and you know all things. Did you know that you knew all things? And yet he says that. I take it, it means we have the capacity to learn, to discern right from wrong, truth from error. And the reason is that he has given us an anointing, which is the Holy Spirit of God. And because of that, since you are a true child of God, you have that anointing, and you have the capacity to understand, and also you have the capacity not to listen to the voice of one who is not your shepherd. Flee from that one. You have that much understanding, no matter how small the gift God has given you. You have that anointing. And that is important in understanding this parable about the 10 virgins, because they are all alike except for this difference. It says that 5 of them were 5 and 5 were foolish. And what's the difference? The foolish took no oil in their vessels. And anyone who knows typology and the figures of speech that Christ uses will understand that this oil is a figure of the Spirit of God. Because when it says, the Lord anointed me, the actual anointing happened when he was baptized. The Spirit of God descended from heaven as a dove upon him and it abode upon him. That was Christ's anointing. You could see the Spirit of God coming upon him and abiding upon him. And for us, when the Spirit comes, it is not seen. But I guarantee you this, that if you do not have that anointing of the Spirit, you do not belong to the Lord Jesus. You can have every other qualification. People can look upon you and think that you are a Christian, but unless you have the oil, you are not a Christian. This is what Paul says in Romans 8. If any man has not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. But what if you have the profession? What if you have this torch, this lamp? And what if you are looking for the coming of the Lord? What if your life is above reproach? If you do not have the oil, when the Lord Jesus comes back, you are not going into his kingdom. He has told you that. And what is the difference? It is this. It is that some can say, as well as the others, we are virgins. We are above reproach. We have moral responsibility, respectability. But the Lord says, do you have the oil in your vessel? Because there are those that live a life above reproach, but it's in the power of the flesh. This is what the Apostle Paul learned. That's what he confesses in Philippians chapter 3. He says, everything that was written in the law, he said, I did those things. He said, and yet it was not acceptable. He said, all of those things that I did, and he would put every one of us to shame in his obedience to the commandments of God. He said, but what things were gained to me, those have I counted loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. And the difference was this. He was doing all of the other things in the power of Saul of Tarsus. But then he trusted Christ as Savior, and after that he did everything in the power of the Spirit of God. And so remember, if you have the anointing, it will both illumine you and it will empower you for this reason. I told you that in 1 John 2, you have the anointing, and you can understand all things. But it says this in the first chapter of Acts. The Savior said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth. You shall receive power. And so if you have that anointing, you have power to serve God, and you have understanding to comprehend the teachings of God to a greater or lesser degree, because we have different abilities. 1 talent, 2 talents, 5 talents. But there is an ability from God to understand, to have power. And for that reason, that is why the true children of God are going to endure to the end. Why? Because of the power of God that is in you. It is not you. Paul said, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. It is God's grace that saves. It is God's Spirit that empowers. But there is the enduring. And that is why people say, I don't have to endure to the end. You must endure to the end. And the fact that you do endure to the end is a proof that you have the anointing of the Spirit and the empowering of the Spirit. The enduring to the end does not merit salvation. But because you took salvation as a free gift from God, then, having received that salvation, you get the wisdom and the power to live until the end. And for that reason, I want us to understand a moment about that descriptive picture of the sheep and the goats. It sounds as if the way to get to heaven is to do good. When the Savior said, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Why? If he spoke to me, he would say, because you trusted my Son as Savior. You were a sinner, but you trusted him for the forgiveness of your sins. But listen to what he says to these that are sheep. He said, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. because I was hungry and you gave me to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me to drink. I was sick and you visited me. I was naked, you clothed me. I was a stranger, you took me in. He simply mentions all the good things that these people did. He does not mention faith. He does not mention baptism. He simply mentions the good things that they did. And they were not good things that they did the way the Apostle Paul did in Philippians 3. I'm trying to do these things to get to heaven. They did them spontaneously because of something that had taken place within them. And the works manifested, the faith, the reality, the salvation from God that was theirs, but all of these works did not earn the salvation of God. But without those works, it is definite that you are not a child of God. This is what it says in Philippians chapter 2. It says, so then, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Did you know you had to work out your salvation to get to heaven? It doesn't say to work for your salvation, but to work out your salvation, because the salvation, the Spirit of God, to understand, to live for God, to work for God, that power is within you. And it says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who worketh in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. But all of you who think that you can profess faith in Christ and then live the way that you please, the works that you fail to do, the sins that you commit, condemn you, because they are evidence that Christ shall say to you, depart from me, I never knew you. And so there must be good works. Do you realize that it speaks of election and it says, wherefore make your calling and election sure? How can you make your calling and election sure? By working for God, by worshiping God, by studying the Word of God, witnessing for God. And if you do all of those things, they will not make you any more a child of God than you are now, but they will be definite proof that you are a child of God. And so think of this, all of you who insist upon salvation by grace through faith, and you are afraid to even mention works, well, you had better mention works, because without works, faith without works is dead, and dead faith gets no man to heaven. But works produced by a living faith are evidences that you're on your way to heaven. And I want to make my calling and election sure by living for God in the power of the Spirit. Listen to this. Work out your own salvation, for it is God who worketh in you. If God is working in you, you'll have to have works. You'll have to have responsibility, moral responsibility and integrity. And these things must be present, or the Lord Jesus will look at you and say, I never knew you. But I know you. I heard you preach. I never knew you. And so, please note, when I told a man years ago, did you know that virgins go to hell? He said, that's impossible. The Lord Jesus said, here are virgins who had no oil, but the door was shut, and they tried to get in. And the Lord would not let them in. And so if you say, my life is above reproach, you cannot show any sin that I committed morally. And it may be true. The Lord Jesus says, they're all virgins. But, he said, without the oil, they do not go in. And in this instance, here is something that's interesting, and you may search it out. The word to meet the Lord in the air occurs in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. He's going to descend from heaven with a shout and will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Do you realize that this same word is used concerning these virgins? They went forth to meet the Lord. The same word. And so the Lord is coming down to meet us, and we are to go forth to meet the Lord. Because what is filling the heart of all true believers is that blessed hope. This is our blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. But what happens is this, that these virgins at first were expecting it. But then while the Lord tarried, they all slumbered and slept. But at the midnight hour, behold the bridegroom. And so there was a stir, the Lord is coming. And so I hope that since for these 4 weeks I've told you that our Savior is coming, at least this has been awakened in your mind, and you are to be ready when he comes. And now, little children, abide in him, that if he shall be manifested, we may have boldness and not be ashamed before him at his coming. To be ashamed before him is one thing, but to be found without oil, no ability to make your lamp burn, that is tragic, and it results in eternal separation from God. And so our Lord speaks these parables, and one of them has us included in it. We are to serve God. We are to live for God. We are to take the substance of God and increase it. And we are to look for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior. The Lord Jesus is coming again. Be ready. Let us pray. Our Father, we are thankful that we will never be able to say with you that you did not tell us that your Son was coming again, that you did not tell us that you expected us to work for you until he came, that we were to have lives above reproach, that we were to do things in the power of the Spirit of God. Your Son has told us all these things, and therefore we know your Son is coming. We pray, Father, that we shall not be lethargic or asleep and have to be aroused to realize, yes, Jesus is coming again. But let us look into heaven as those disciples did when they saw the Lord Jesus go into heaven. But let us not idly look into heaven, but expectantly, Father, as we work for the Lord Jesus, as we show hospitality to strangers, as we show kindness and love to one another. Our Father, we are saved by grace through faith, but you expect so much of us. And so when you come, our Father, let us be found with oil in our vessels. Let us be found with an increase of the talents that you've given us. And our Father, let us hear your Son describe us as those who have fed the hungry and clothed the naked, and visited the sick and those in prison. Let us be those children of God that we should be. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.